My guy.
My guy.
You're killing me, bro.
I am. I know.
What's up, my brother?
I want to say what's up to all of our listeners.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Unscripted Violence. You're with me, Stagger Lee, and as J-Dog, the J-Man, the J-ster, what's going on?
Oh, I'm sick. I'm tired. I work with children. Oh, wait. That's somebody else's promo. I'm doing all right. How are you doing, man?
I like that promo. That's... I'm sick, hey. I'm tired, I'm sick and I'm tired.
It works on so many levels, especially for my old ass. It works so many levels, but
what's up, brother? Not a lot, man. I just, you know, I have... What I'm going to say is going to... People.
Uh-oh.
This is the best Dynamite I have seen all year.
Oh my God, you're so... No, you're not even right. No.
I know. I knew you were going to disagree with it. Yeah, that's why I said it, so...
That's why we worked together, but... Yeah, it wasn't, but we'll get into that. But we'll get into that. But some crazy news going on.
So what's the news? Because you're the news guy.
There's a lot going on, bro. So apparently... The names of the people that Triple H reached out to come back to WWE have been leaked. So, apparently they first tried to... Well, I don't know about first, but they reached out to Swerve Strickland to try to get him to go back to Hit Row. And he said, nope, sorry, I don't like the way you guys treated me. He actually told them to talk to his attorney.
Really?
Yeah, he's happy in AEW.
I want to hear more about that. Well, so
he's happy in AEW. Like, he did not like the way... He's been on record about how Triple H, it took a while for like Triple H to like kind of get what Swerve Strickland was about. And he's happy in AEW. Like, how been in? He's been in a lot. He loves his character. He loves what AEW does.
I love what he's doing right now. I as far as a heel, I think he should be. I think he should be pursuing that.
I've said on this show that he is going to be a future world champion. He's going to be a world champion. I will go on a limb right now and I will say he will be the first AEW Black African American world champion.
You know what? I am going to agree with you on that.
Not that we need to say. I mean, I hate that we have to say that in this day and age.
No, I what you're saying, and we're not trying to play into the
whole, it's like how Ron Simmons was the first African American WCW champion. It's just...
Which Ron Simmons was my first match that I ever saw when I was in I was 14. I was in Florida, and I saw Ron Simmons against a guy who cares. It was a jobber, but that was the best match I have ever seen in my life. Me and my little brother were chanting "Break It" while he was doing a arm wrench on some guy, and we were just sitting there chanting "Break It." And he said, "You want me to break it?" And we're like, "Yeah, we want you to break it."
Hell yeah, break it.
Ron Simmons.
Yeah. Well, so
Simmons is
He said no. Talk to my attorney. There's rumors out there. They reached out to Keith Lee. He said no as well. He's happy where he's at. He didn't like the way he was treated. Also, his wife now, Mia Kim, he doesn't like the way she was treated, so he said no.
Is that Keith Lee's wife, or is that...
Yeah, Keith Lee's wife is Mia Kim. She's in Impact now.
Oh, okay.
But
she's in... Wait, hold on a second. So, Mia Kim, who was in AEW, right?
No, she was never in AEW. She was part of like the WWE stable, the Retribution, and all that. And she was in.
Oh, okay, okay. So I'm thinking far outside of that. Okay.
Yeah. And then I guess they reached out to. There's all kinds of rumors, but I guess apparently Miro told him no. He's happy with the schedule he has and what he can do outside of being in wrestling. The one that really shocked me was FTR, and they told, I guess apparently what is being reported, that FTR told them they would listen, but only if they got the Roman Reigns schedule. So that's kind of interesting.
The Roman Reigns schedule. What does Roman Reigns' schedule look like?
Oh, you don't even know, because you don't watch WWE. Even though he's the champion, he only wrestles at the big pay-per-views. Like, they're about to have a pay-per-view this month called Extreme Rules. He's not even on the card. He shows up, like, every once in a while on SmackDown now. He's almost like a part-timer.
So he's what we would call a part-timer.
Yeah, and that's what FTR said. We want the Roman schedule. So, and they basically got that in AEW right now. So, we'll see.
Yeah, well, basically, they haven't been used for how many months now?
Well, and we complain about that, but apparently that's what they want. So we'll get into that later when we talk about the Acclaim tag team match on Dynamite.
Sounds good.
Buddy Matthews came out. He wrestled on a independent. I forget where it was at, but he cut a promo afterwards, and he said he was going to be leaving AEW for a while, like his brother Malakai, to get his act and other orders in together. Kind of like how Malakai said. So when Malakai, when Malakai Black, Aleister Black, whatever you want to call him, whenever he asked for his release, the thought was he wanted to go back to WWE. So they denied it. So what's being reported is that he was gave like a, not really a release, but a like, go away for a while, get your act together, and then, you know, come back. Because you got to remember, when he signed these people, Tony Khan, he signed Malakai Black, Adam Cole, all these people to 5-year contracts. So,
right.
When you still have 4.5 years on your deal, I don't think he's going to let you go, and especially let you go back to the competition. So, Fightful is reporting that they believe that Malakai Black and Buddy Matthews is going to take some time off. Now, you got to remember, a lot of these people that are mentioned about being contacted have significant others in WWE. Like Buddy Matthews is with Rhea Ripley. She's in WWE.
Yes.
Malakai Black. Sorry, I'm sick, guys, so if my throat doesn't sound, if my voice sounds weird, I'm sorry. I'm dealing with a cold here.
You sound beautiful, baby.
I appreciate that. Malakai Black is with Zelina Vega. They're a couple. But what's being rumored is that they're going to stay in AEW. They'll be back later on this year. One of the weird rumors going around that's being kind of Fightful couldn't confirm it, and they said they were actually told no. But the big rumor was that Bobby Fish was trying to get Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly to try to get out of their AEW contracts to go to WWE with them, and they were told no.
I was kind of like, I don't think so.
Well, first off, fuck Bobby Fish, because he's a piece of shit. But
exactly. I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100% on that. Fuck Bobby Fish.
He showed up on like TNA's like last pay-per-view, and like he tried to make it a big deal, and everybody was like, "You're in Impact. Like 10 people are watching you." So, but the big thing is this is being recorded that Triple H personally reached out to these people and called them and said, "Hey," but they have contracts. That's the weird thing. So I don't think we're gonna see anybody going anywhere anytime soon. The CM Punk, God, I miss Punk so bad. God, I miss CM Punk. Oh my God, I miss CM Punk. But anyway, Wade Keller reported, and I don't even know how Wade Keller knows this bullshit, so I don't believe it at all. But it's being reported that he said that he thinks AEW is going to buy out his contract. Now,
that's
not going to happen. Wade Keller's so full of fucking shit. Here's the deal.
Do you really think Wade Keller's that full of shit that he's going to put his reputation on the line to say that, though?
Well, he said it wasn't 100% sure, but what he believed.
Okay.
He's buying him out. Now, here's my deal. I know I'm a Punk homer. I get it. Bring all the Punk whatever bullshit you want to me. But Punk...
Nobody's done that. No, nobody's done that to this
Yeah. Punk was making money for this company. And now look, he's out for 8 months, 6 to 8 months with the tricep injury. Why make a rash decision? It's also being reported that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega have been left in the dark. Like, nobody from AEW is talking to them. So, from what I gather, it's almost like Tony Khan's more mad at the Bucks and Omega for going to start the fight than he is. Because remember, it's being reported that Tony Khan knew what CM Punk was going to do. Now, did he know to the extreme what he was going to say? No. I'm sure Punk told him a little bit maybe what about what he was going to say. And I think a lot of it was just Punk being in the character and setting up feuds later. And then, but like...
Well, here's what I got to say. Punk, and this is no secret, Punk is an asshole.
Yeah. He doesn't care who knows that.
He will be an asshole when he wants to be an asshole. And he wanted to be. And I don't think that Tony Khan had any idea of the extent that this would have went to.
But here's my thing. Like, okay, a bunch of millionaires got into a fight. Who fucking really cares? The next weekend, UFC had a press conference that was stopped short because everybody started fighting. You know what happened the next night? Everybody went on and had their fights. They didn't suspend anybody. They just canceled the fucking press conference. And the pay-per-view went on. Why are we trying to get people fired? I mean, we're talking about millionaires fighting each other. Who fucking cares? Let them fucking fight. If they have a disagreement, who fucking cares? Here's the problem when you make EVPs of active wrestlers. It just doesn't work.
I think that they need to be stripped of these EVPs. Myself, if I was running the company, I'd be like, okay, you motherfuckers, you're done.
You're done. Yep.
You can work for me, but only on my terms, and that's it. I else going beyond that.
And here's the thing. I don't think Punk's done. I think he has the wrestling bug again. So let's say you buy out his contract. You're just sending him to WWE. Triple H, I know him and Punk had their issues when they were like...
I don't think WWE would take him back.
Oh, they'll take it back in a heartbeat. Are you serious?
Do you think they would? Yeah. I mean...
Here's what I was about to say. Him and Punk got into it when they were active wrestlers. But right now, Triple H is CEO or CEO or whatever you want to call him. He wants what's best for business. And you can't tell me having CM Punk back in WWE wouldn't like pop a crowd and pop this and that. Oh, it would certainly would. So I don't think Punk's done. I think he got the wrestling bug again. And
Heat that him and Triple H had against each other. I mean, that was white hot.
But now Triple H is now in charge of how much money this company makes. And if you're going to tell... They always say never in WWE. Whoever thought Cody Rhodes would go back after he took a sledgehammer to a throne?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I don't think it's likely, but I think it could happen. I don't know.
I think it would happen because he would be taking one of AEW's hottest acts. And Triple H is all, I mean, he's bringing everybody back. Like, Bray Wyatt's supposedly coming back. This person's coming back. This person's coming back. Like, he wants to do what's best for the fans and what's best. Because you got to remember, this is now a publicly traded company. You can't tell me a person like CM Punk's out there, they wouldn't sign him? Oh, they would sign him in a heartbeat.
Here's the thing that I see. And this is as a wrestling fan. Really as a wrestling fan. Nothing more, nothing else. I don't see the changes coming as fast as they should.
For who?
For WWE and for Triple H.
Really? Because
I've and I've snuck a couple shows. I got to admit that, okay?
All right, but here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm going to cut you off right here.
Okay.
And I know you hate ratings and you hate that talk, and but it's
I don't hate it. It's just I just don't find it a place in our podcast.
Well, yeah,
our podcast should be about wrestling.
Well, it's about wrestling, but if you don't have the numbers, you're not going to have wrestling on TV.
This past SmackDown,
with the rumors of it was in your home state, right, Utah?
Utah, yeah, Salt Lake City.
It did a 2.5 million viewer. They haven't had that rating in over like 3 years.
So what do you think transitioned it to that? What do you think caused it to be that high?
Part of it was the Bray Wyatt coming back, because they've been like.
Do you think that was the rumor that Bray Wyatt's coming back? We're gonna watch it.
Well, if you haven't been watching WWE, they've been putting up QR codes that you scan and it shows you this bunch of stuff. So, like, they've been teasing.
Yeah.
And it's also, if you go to, like, cagematch.com, they, like, give ratings and stuff like that. Like,
Cage Match is a great site, everybody.
Yeah, it's a very good site. What WWE is doing now is Triple H is letting the wrestling matches go longer. So it's not really like your little 5-minute TV match to like get on TV and do. He's letting some of these matches breathe. So you're getting longer matches. You're getting better matches. You're getting a better show. And I know you don't like Roman Reigns, but he's a draw.
I love Roman Reigns. Actually, I do. I love what he's done. Love how he's turned his character around from what, like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
So I love how he's gone heel, but I'm not. That's just not enough for me.
It's not just that though, but they're giving the matches longer, and it's almost like he stole a page from Tony Khan, where like every Dynamite's like almost a pay per view.
Right.
And he's giving the matches on SmackDown and Raw more time to breathe. So they're getting longer matches. It's been... I subscribe to WrestleNomics. And they do they do a great job of quarter hours and this and that and Google Trends and stuff like that. They're right. Also hitting the younger crowd with like the Logan Paul stuff and this and that and doing this and teasing Bray Wyatt and this and that. And it's like people were so disenfranchised with the Vince McMahon WWE that now that it's a Triple H WWE, people are more like, I'm gonna give it a shot.
That's what I've been doing, but the whole thing about that aspect with me, this is just me personally, I don't like the way it's being filmed. I don't like what do you call it? Back and forth action? You know what I mean? When they shake the camera when they're on the stage and they're beating each other up and they shake the camera. It's just terrible.
It's gotten better.
It's insulting.
It's gotten better.
And maybe I should watch a little bit more of it to get a bit more of a chance. But that shit just drove me nuts. I cannot watch this. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, it almost gives you a seizure.
It does. It's Jesus Christ, are you guys trying to fucking...
Kill me?
Yeah, exactly. It was like I can't watch this.
So we'll see where it goes. We'll go now. Let's talk a little bit about this Dynamite.
This Dynamite, to me, was the best Dynamite.
Well, it's the first million-dollar non-pay-per-view show of the year. Even though even though last year they sold 19,000 tickets, this year they only sold 13,000 tickets, but it was a higher price point. And it seems like AEW's kind of like getting that, because even with the like, they're coming to Dynamite, they're bringing Dynamite here to Cincinnati here in October, and the ticket prices are so much, well, they're so much higher than they were before. I still haven't bought tickets yet because the price points were so high. And I found out why it's going to be on a Tuesday. It's because
how much is it compared to last year? How much would you say it is?
Well, last year I bought tickets that were, hold on, let me see, 15 rows from ringside for $29.99, and now this year it's like $90, so about a $60.
Oh my god! So significantly.
Yeah, like last year, Dynamite, I mean, at Grand Slam, I think the tickets were like in the $40 range, and this year, you know, on an average, it was like $81, so it was almost double the price point.
Right. Yeah.
And they only had a stage set up for 15,000 anyway, because they actually had like a stage and stuff like that. But it wasn't a sellout, but it was still $1 million gate, so you know, that's still pretty cool. I know we don't talk about ratings. Ratings were down just a little bit, not a whole lot, nothing to really talk about. Interesting note that I did hear, that at All Out we had Moxley and Punk. The match was supposed to be Punk and MJF, with MJF getting the title over Punk in Chicago. But when Punk broke his foot, you know, changes had to happen. Moxley became intro title, and then blah, blah, blah. We know what happened. But
yeah, do you believe that?
Well, you got to think, because after Punk won, the MJF stuff happened. That's why he was gone for 3 months, because it was supposed to be him and Punk the next year.
Right.
And also being told his new contract, he's now making over $1 million a year.
My God.
Yeah, he got a big raise, so. Congrats to MJF. He's my Punk of now. He reminds me so much of CM Punk. It's not even funny. Just the crowd was cheering, and we'll get into that, but
Well, MJF is beyond a wrestling legend right now. If I were to say that, be as bold as to say that, he is.
Well, and I think he signed a new contract, because he did an interview with Ariel Helwani. And the last time he did that, he got in trouble because he didn't get it cleared. And this time he got it cleared, but like, he was still MJF, but he was still like hyping up AEW.
Right.
Whereas before he wouldn't, but like, he was talking about how AEW has the best wrestlers and they have the best matches, and even though they suck compared to him, they're still superstars. And it was a really good interview. So I think MJF signed a new contract. I mean, they're probably not going to announce it, but I'm pretty sure he did. But that's really all I got left with the news. Let's get into this Dynamite, bro.
Started off with the ROH World Championship.
I'm going to vent so hard on this match after you're done.
I really hope you, because I thought this was a great match.
I'll say my piece when you're done.
Well, okay, so we got the Wizard, Chris Jericho, which they made a point to make it that it was the Wizard, Chris Jericho, versus Claudio Castagnoli. The crowd was on fire for this. They were so loud that they drowned out the music. The mention on commentary, how Aubrey Edwards is the first female to officiate RH World Championship match.
Yep, that was
gotta give it to her. I love Aubrey Edwards. I don't know who doesn't love Aubrey Edwards, but I do.
A lot of people don't. But
I don't see why not, because she is probably the best aficionado, or what do you call it?
Oh wow! Hold on. I just got some news.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Gargano's wife, Candice LeRae, she just debuted on Raw.
What?
Yeah, she just debuted.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry about that.
Well, that's a nice mention.
Yeah. But anyway,
I love Aubrey Edwards. She's my favorite official in AEW, probably since their inception. She gives the most animated responses to everything. She just brings a lot of life to the match.
Yeah, she does a good job. I like Audrey.
She does. And the match starts off with Claudio. He offers his hand to give Jericho a handshake in the code of honor. Jericho proceeds to give a handshake, but then slaps him across the face. So, that's dishonor, or was it honor? I don't know.
That was dishonor.
So it was this.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But Claudio explodes out with a series of European uppercuts. He continues to beat Jericho on the outside. Jericho grabs Kerry Silken, who owned ROH from, yes, I think, 2004 to 2011.
A long time.
A long time. He brought him into the match. Jericho throws Silken into Claudio. And then when Claudio is distracted, he punches him in the face. This punch clearly did not connect, but Claudio still sold it anyway.
He's a pro.
Yeah, he is. Then Chris shoves Silken down, putting Jericho in control of the match. Claudio's going on for a Ricola bomb from off the second rope. Claudio reversed it into a Hurricanrana. Claudio hits the Ricola bomb and Jericho kicks out at a two, which I thought was too soon.
Bullshit. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Too soon for that. Claudio hits a big swing. He spins Jericho around. I counted it. I think it's 17 times.
Do you count seconds or how many?
I count how many rotations. So how many times it hit a certain point at the match.
All right.
So I counted 17. Jericho tries to introduce Floyd the Bat, but Claudio catches it and tosses it aside. Aubrey Edwards goes to the corner to get rid of the bat. Jericho throws Claudio into the corner, almost running into Aubrey, but stops himself while Aubrey's distracted. Jericho kicks Claudio in the nuts and then hits him in the Judas Effect and gets the win. Out comes the Jericho Appreciation Society to congratulate Jericho. And Garcia is lagging behind noticeably and looks disappointed. Gives Jericho a half-assed high five.
All right, is it my turn to go off now?
Time for your rant.
Oh, my God. So, I know I'm a Claudio homer, but I'm also a Jericho homer. Because remember, I put him on my Mount Rushmore when we did that conversation.
Yes, you did.
And also, what did I tell you before the match? I told you if Jericho won, they were working on a TV deal.
Yes, that's exactly what you told me. You said if Jericho wins, they're going to do a TV deal. If he doesn't win, they're not.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is one of those things where I love it and hate it at the same time. Apparently, they're close to getting a deal for ROH. And the way they're shopping it is, look at what, because Chris Jericho was the first AEW champion, because their first deal wasn't a money deal with TNT. It was like an ad share deal. And then they saw the ratings and the demo they got, and they got the deal. So what I'm pissed about is, and I know I'm a Claudio homer, just like I'm a Punk owner, but you brought him in to Forbidden Door. He beat Zack Sabre Jr. You bring him into Blood and Guts. He does the cool move on the top. He's one of the guys that gets to win. You bring him to the ROH pay-per-view, and it gets one of the biggest buys they ever got. And then, like he does with almost every other talent, Claudio is fighting on Dark. He's fighting on Elevation. He's fighting on non-regular AEW TV. People said they were going to bring Claudio in because WWE didn't use him right. How was this title reign worth a fuck? It wasn't. It was stupid.
It really wasn't, and you're absolutely right on all accounts. And I think that I think that it was what do I say? What's the correct amount of wording to it to be?
Fuckity fuckity.
It was
I mean,
it was a fuck finish.
It's like Tony Khan gets these people, and it was the same with Keith Lee's debut and some other people's debut. They bring him in hot, and then they cool him off. I don't know why. And
we got more of that to come in this segment.
Yeah, I'll get going on that in a minute. But if it was to have Jericho to help get TV, okay, I get it. I mean, I'm a Jericho fan. He's now an 8-time world champion. But, and I guess they did it not the ROH way to get heel heat. Okay, whatever. They're supposed to shake hands. He didn't shake hands. All this, blah, blah. And this was like one of the first three matches where the referee got made to look like shit. And it just, it didn't hit right. Like, it was just like, you said you brought Claudio in to AEW because he wasn't used right in WWE. When you're doing the same fucking shit that WWE would have done, it makes no fucking sense. Unless you need Jericho to get the TV deal, and we hear a TV deal here in the next couple weeks, then okay. But if it wasn't, then it was just fucking stupid.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
I don't get it. Why? I mean,
definitely. If it were to kind of say it does, I can definitely see that.
Well, and if it gets him a TV deal, okay, I'm all for it. Maybe Claudio could win a rematch.
That's what I'm thinking. That was the whole time I'm watching this.
But it was a cold match. Why? What did Jericho do to deserve a ROH world title match? I don't know.
Right. Nothing but be Jericho, really.
Right. So it was just, I was happy because I'm a Jericho fan, but I was also sad because I'm a Claudio fan. He's fighting Bandino this week on AEW, but
they're already pushing him more than they did Claudio. More than they did anybody else with the title.
It's like if you're not Jericho, Punk, Moxley, or the Elite, you don't get pushed, and it's so weird. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't get it. But
I see it.
You know, but I've heard people say, well, Jericho's gonna get him a TV deal, and then Danielson's gonna beat Jericho for the ROH title to give it more prestige. I've also heard where maybe Garcia and Jericho will fight for the ROH title, and you can make Daniel Garcia world champion. I'm open to seeing where it's going. I just don't like how Claudio was used in this. You know.
Claudio could have been used better, but we have a lot of lame ducks in professional wrestling, and unfortunately, he was one of the ones.
Yeah, but don't say we're going to bring Claudio in because he wasn't used right, and then you use right. him to play. It's fucking stupid.
I see what you're saying.
But anyway.
I agree with it in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
But then after that, we had a quick video package of Danielson and Moxley, with Danielson saying he's avenged all his losses except for Moxley. So that kind of led us to the point of where we're going to be. But then we have the AEW World Tag Team Championship match.
Scissor me, daddy ass. Scissor me. Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. And I came prepared with a statement. I will not scissor you, daddy ass. I will not scissor you.
You will fucking scissor me, and you will like it.
I probably will. But don't let our listeners know that.
The crowd was hot.
I'm just, this was a damn good match. Swerve in our glory versus the Acclaimed 2. How could you not make for a TV gold? This match had me hot on my seat the whole fucking time. How do I word this? This was the best tag team wrestling match I've seen for decades.
Really?
I am being dead serious.
Over their this match is, at, over their match at the pay-per-view?
Okay. I knew that was going to come up.
Yeah.
Chicago was one thing, okay? And they could have called an audible, and they I see have. All that.
They should have.
They should have. Okay. But for what this match was worth, I think this was the perfect to call it.
It was great.
I mean, this was, oh my God. When you had Keith Lee doing a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, that was sick.
A Hurricane Rana. Keith Lee. Look at this guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Oh my God. That was just an amazing, amazing spot.
It was just, the whole match was just so good with the storytelling and Swerve and Lee hitting each other a couple times and teasing the breakup. And I'm pretty sure we'll see them at Revolution fighting each other, but it was so good.
I hope we don't have another rematch. I really hope
I think we're going to see Keith Lee versus Swerve Strickland.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could. Oh, that definitely. And I want Swerve to be the heel in that, by the way.
Oh, definitely. He's such a good heel.
Can I not say what an excellent heel this guy is? Yeah, I mean, so the second he comes out, the booze pouring out of this crowd. Come on.
Yeah.
The so guy good. Is gold. Beautiful.
But this is where me and you disagreed, because I thought it was too predictable. Like, I pretty much had a good idea Jericho was going to win. Now, maybe not everybody else did, but I did. And I knew the Acclaimed were going to win. So, it was like, I was happy.
Yeah, but come on. It was the perfect time, the perfect place. It was like the perfect storm, you know what I mean?
But you knew who was going to win.
You did know who was going to win. But did you not like it any less?
I'm going to say yeah, because if they would have pulled the trigger at the pay-per-view, that would have been more unexpected than this. Like, I expected them to win this match. I pretty much did. Now, if they would have wanted the pay-per-view, I would have not guessed it. And who knew they were going to be that over in Chicago? Nobody. But You have an earpiece in the referee's ear for a reason. I would rather see the Acclaimed win it.
How did you like the spot where Swerve and Gunn got into each other's faces on the outside?
That was good.
And this ended up in Gunn getting the Famouser. Well, I mean, come on.
Swerve put on his Twitter, he said, Tony Khan, give me the match I want. And it was a picture of him and Billy Gunn going at it. So, yeah.
That was such a great moment. I don't know.
No, I'll give you that. That was really cool. It was a great match. It was fucking fantastic.
We got new tag team champs.
Yeah.
I like the pink confetti.
That was cool.
The pink confetti was great. Backstage, we had Lexi Nair backstage with FTR. And they talked about how they've been number one contenders for so long. And then we have the Gunn Club. But then we have the Gunn Club interrupting and saying what a bunch of insults. And they walk away. And that was the... I'm sorry. I'm going to say it was the dumbest segment of the night.
I mean, I'll agree.
I did not like that segment at all. I would have liked it. I don't know if you like it.
Honestly. I like the F boys, but it's like it's bringing FTR down. I'm pretty sure we're gonna get the Acclaimed versus FTR in the next interview, but it was like, why are we gonna be in a program with the Ass Boys?
Yeah, why are we entertaining this? Because number one, the Ass Boys are not that great.
Well, you gotta remember, they put the Ass Boys in the firm, so they're trying to get that crew over. FTR's over. So, I mean, I see it, but I also agree with what you're saying.
You know what I mean by it. It was a dumb segment. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Dumb segment. Tony Schiavone's on the stage with Wheeler Yuta. And speaking of dumb segments...
Oh, this was so stupid.
Asking his opinion on the main event. They're interrupted by MJF. MJF and Wheeler insult each other. Wheeler looks like a 10-year-old child on the playground with a... What do you call it? The little tether ball. Yeah, trying to hit it back and forth. It was so stupid.
You can't put Wheeler Yuta, someone who's not used to talking on the mic, against MJF, who will kill anybody on the mic. It was so
Why
dumb.
Did they do this? And, why?
Yeah, are they going to fight each other? I mean, what?
I don't see why. I don't see what the purpose was of this.
It was stupid.
I don't see... It was terrible.
Yep. And that's why I say this wasn't a very great Dynamite. It was good, not great. What the fuck was this? It was stupid.
I got you on that.
Yep.
I got you on that. And then we had MJF. He made a joke about William Regal popping pills. That I could see getting some genuine heat.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that, and I liked how he slapped him across the mouth. I did. I loved that.
Yeah.
Then MJF headbutts Yuta. Shoves Tony Schiavone down. Why was he attacking Schiavone
just to try to get heel heat? Just to get heel heat.
It didn't do that for me.
It did for the crowd though. They booed the hell out of him after he did it.
Okay. Then he unloads on MJF. He started straddling him and punching him, and then W. Morrissey comes out.
Yeah.
And he grabs Yuta, holding him, while MJF hits him with the diamond ring. And then secures out and leads them back up the tunnel. I saw no reason.
Yeah, are we going to get a Wheeler Yuta at an MJF match?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I don't know why, because MJF's going to kill him. And I don't know if this was just to get Morrissey over more, I guess, but it was weird.
You can't get Morrissey over more than he is. He's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, I agree.
And you can't teach that.
7 foot tall, and you can't
teach 7 foot tall, yeah. Right? 6 feet. What a... You can't teach that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Terrible, terrible segment. But backstage, we got Tony Schiavone again, which I don't know why we had Tony Schiavone getting his ass kicked on stage, and then we got him in the backstage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Baddies. Why did we do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Tony Schiavone, yeah, he recovered quick. He talks about Cargill's match with Diamante and how Diamante is bringing a friend on Friday. Diamante says that it's the baddest bitch, who is Trina. Can I interrupt for a second? Who the fuck is Trina? Who cares?
What? You don't know who that is?
I don't care who Trina is.
Well,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
She's a 47-year-old nothing that I have no connection to.
I love
who the fuck is Trina?
I love Trina's music, but yeah.
Okay. If you like your music, then I'm glad for you, but I have no clue who she is. I don't care who she is. And it would have been nice to know who she was.
She's a bad bitch. But anyway, it's like,
is that the name of her album? Because I'm gonna sorry.
Yeah, Trina's a bad bitch. She she does some cool shit. But you know, they had her turn on Diamante on Rampage anyway, so she just aligned with Jade Cargill. But a lot of people probably are like, you don't know who she is. If you didn't listen to her music in the 2000s, you don't know who she is. So
exactly. Like, yeah. Who is this? Why do I care? And I mean, she looked like to me like, well, she looked like a reflection of myself if I was female. A 40-something-year-old.
Well, they had they had Fabulous and Woo Kid in the beforehand. It was like Tony Khan has like his 2005 rap mixtape on Spotify.
I think he was like the who was it with the guy with the mask?
That was Woo Kid. He's one of Eminem's DJs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here we have next week the AEW. All I'm skipping over that part because we don't care about that part, do we?
Cool.
No, but we got an all championship match: Orange Cassidy versus Pac. Part, what is this, 3?
Yo, a lot.
We've watched it before. I love Orange Cassidy. I love Pac. I did not love this match.
So this is where I get to, like, how do you call this a great Dynamite? It wasn't really that great. Like, I've seen this and we already had Ethan Page talking about wanting to go for the All-Atlantic. But then you give the title match to Orange Cassidy. But then you have Pac kind of turn heel in the match because he used, like, a hammer from ringside to beat Cassidy. Why does Pac need that to beat Cassidy? Because Pac's so much bigger. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. I thought it was dumb.
The first part of the match was really cool to me. I really liked it. But by that point, Orange kind of burned through all of his shtick.
Yeah. And we've already seen the match before.
Yes. Like I said... We've seen it.
Yeah, it was dumb. I didn't like it.
We got this. So what happened? Pac hit Orange with the ring bell hammer and knocked him out. And then the ref dang it in the end. Who gave a shit?
Again, they made the referees look like shit.
Yeah.
And the match with the Acclaimed, Billy Gunn got to go in and do it a Fame-Master. And then in the first match, Jericho got to do a low blow and all this other bullshit. And it makes your referees look dumb every fucking time, and I don't get it.
I don't know where this went. It was just a match. We, like you said, we've seen it before. We saw it, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
A couple times.
It was a great match back then.
Yeah.
Back then.
I agree.
Then we have another match we've already seen, which is the AEW World Championship Women's match, which was Britt Baker with Serena Deeb, Toni Storm, and Athena.
I'm so confused.
Let's jumble up the names and not call it All Out again.
Yeah, why is Athena in this match? She has not got any wins over any of these people. Why
didn't she lose? Didn't she lose the last match she had?
Yeah, she lost.
She lost. She's a loser to us.
So why is she in this match? Why is she getting offense? We all knew Toni Storm was going to win. We all knew that. And then why? Here's what I'm confused about. You have been teasing Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker break up. Last week, Jamie Hayter hit somebody in the head with a steel chair, but then hugged Britt Baker. But then this week, they're together. I want to see.
And they work together. And she.
Why?
She knocks her out, and then she like looks at she looks at her buddy Britt and decides to knock her out again. And I don't get it.
All right, let's get to the big news about this match, and then I'll talk about it.
What's the big news? There was nothing about this match that was big news.
Sierra.
Oh, well, the end of the match.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. So we have the end of the match, and out comes Paige, better known as Sierra Knight. Is it Knight?
I just know her as Sierra, but
I thought it was Sierra Knight.
Might be right. I don't know.
Either way.
What a pop she got. She got a big pop.
Oh my God. She looked great, too.
Yeah, but did you notice all the women went out of the ring?
No, I didn't. Oh, yeah, they did. They were all lined up at the bottom of the ring.
Well, do you know why?
No, I don't know why.
Because Sierra's not cleared to wrestle.
Really?
Yep, she's still not cleared.
Oh, God. Okay, well, that changes everything to my whole...
Then why did you bring her here? For a pop?
I don't know.
But...
That was weird.
They're hoping, like Brian Danielson, she'll get cleared, but... For her in a Britt Baker match, but right now she's not cleared. That's why everybody got out of the ring, and she got to go in and do her thing. It's because she's not cleared for contact yet.
And she said something like, "This is my house."
Yeah.
She kept saying that, "This is my house."
She's going to be on Dynamite this Wednesday. I'm very interested in what she's going to say.
I'd like to see what she's going to say, because I honestly never thought of that. Like, that's the reason why all the women out of the ring.
It's because I'm smart. But anyway, but yeah, no, I was...
You are smart. I'm not denying that.
No, I'm not. But no, she's not clear. She's not clear yet.
Dude, you know that.
She's not clear yet. They're hoping she's going to get cleared soon, because they want to program with her and Britt Baker.
Okay. Well, I don't want Britt Baker again. Do you want Britt Baker again? I don't.
I do. I think Britt Baker's a star.
I think Britt Baker has always been a star, but I don't want to see her again and again and again.
Who else is going to fight Sierra? Or you're going to have... Who else?
Not Athena.
No.
Not Toni Storm. That's...
No, because Toni, they're both faces.
Toni Storm is... If you ask me.
So who else?
God, maybe I don't know.
Yeah, it's Brad Pitt. Who?
Yeah. Okay, I see where you're going with this.
Yes, sir.
Don't make me look like a fool here.
I'm not. Just, oh, don't stop that. Just kidding.
Oh, I'm just joking.
Hey, not everybody is as smart as I am. I'm just saying.
Yeah, not everybody's the smart mark.
You're lucky. I love you, bro.
I know. Otherwise, you'd kick my ass.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. I couldn't beat up a flea right now. I'm too old and sick, and I work with children.
Oh, God. If I could beat up a flea right now...
I couldn't beat up anybody right now. I'm just saying. But anyway.
A little bit too much of the fireball?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Not tonight.
I'm just sick and old right now, bro.
Oh, okay. You're not that sick and old.
Oh, I am, dude. I feel bad. But anyway.
We got a video after this of Darby Allin lugging around a body bag, I guess.
Yeah, that's his stick.
And he gets into a city cab, and I'm talking about this tag team match with Sting versus the House of Black, and that's it.
And yeah, they did this for Rampage.
Oh, which is the reason why we didn't do Rampage.
Yeah, Rampage was all right.
It wasn't good at all. Come on, don't.
It did the ratings it's done since April.
Yeah, but not to me. I did not like... Okay, let's cut down to the chase. What did you think of Rampage this week, honestly?
I thought it was good. I mean, you had Great Muta come back.
Great Muta was a great point. Okay, you can't pull that on me.
Okay, how about Ricky Starks beating Hobbs in a lights out match? That was good. Jungle Boy and Rey Fénix was a classic.
That was not a classic. I'm sorry.
Come on.
No, that to me, that was the most disappointing match of the night.
Wow.
It is a hot take, but I'm telling you why. Because I expected a little bit more out of those two.
What else could they have done?
They did.
What? They did a lot.
Not according to me, I guess. I was expecting a little bit more. I was expecting a faster pace. I was expecting Jungle Boy to be better.
Wow. Okay.
I did not think Jungle Boy did his, what do you call it, due credit?
I mean, he did. Do you want him to kill himself? I don't. What
no, I don't. I don't want him to kill himself. Of course not. But I didn't. It didn't impress me.
Wow, you're a hard judge.
I'm a very hard judge, apparently.
Alright. Well, let's get to the main event because I hated it.
You hated the main event?
Yeah.
You hated Dragon, Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley.
Yeah, because I knew who was going to win. We have seen Jon Moxley win 3 title matches in like 3 months, and it's just so old.
This is why I loved it, because everybody was expecting it.
No, it was so... No, this was bad. It was a good match. But
it was
like...
a great physical matchup. You had MJF here's the worst part of the match. MJF holding that goddamn poker chip. That was stupid. Come on. We're going to not expect MJF to appear after holding that poker chip and he's in a suit. We're supposed to expect him to come down and beat the shit out of Moxley and or Bryan Danielson. Come on.
Now, if it was me, I'd put the bet on Danielson. That's just me. But Mox is just going to lose to MJF.
And so would have Danielson. It didn't matter who it was. Who should it have been? The Brooklyn Brawler?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I honestly, like, who would it have been?
If I'm going to tell you your first world championship was going to be against Bryan Danielson or Jon Moxley, which one is bigger? Bryan Danielson.
Hell no. Oh, you know what a mark I am for Jon Moxley? You're not going to expect me to answer that honestly.
No, answer it honestly. It doesn't make...
Jon Moxley.
They've already feuded before, and Moxley used his move that was banned to beat fucking MJF.
Jon Moxley, ECW
champ. I want something new. I want...
He's ECW champ. GCW, Game Changer Wrestling.
Oh my God, you're so... I'm done with you.
Are you?
Well, you know I love you, bro. But here's the thing.
I love you too, but no.
But you got Moxley facing Gage in a career versus title match, which Gage is going to win. So you're going to have your championship, your world title holder, lose to Nick Gage?
We're not going to say that Nick Gage is going to win that, because I don't believe that at this point.
So you think Nick Gage is going to retire?
Don't put me at these odds.
He's not going to retire. He's not done yet. He said it. This is what I said with Moxley being the GCW champion. Who's going to beat him? So, are you going to have...
Nobody but Gage beats him. Okay, you're right. Okay.
So Gage beats him, and then he's still the AEW champion, which looks bad on you as AEW. You think he's going to beat MJF? No. You have Moxley lose to Gage, not as the AEW champion.
That would make more sense, but it doesn't make more sense in my heart.
Well, we're not talking about your heart, bro.
Well, my heart says that Jon Moxley is the ruler of all this. And fuck all of you guys. No.
So what's your ranking on this Dynamite?
We didn't even finish the match.
The match was over. We know who won. It was fucking stupid. Moxley, they shake hands. Who gives a fuck? No, this was so bad.
This was a four chair shots across the board. Four chair shots.
I need whatever drug you're on, because no way.
And you didn't even hear my wrestler of the night.
Oh my God, who is it?
The Acclaimed.
Okay. I can go with that.
Two wrestlers, but I'll put them into one. The Acclaimed.
Well, they were my wrestlers too of the night. So you stole my wrestlers, but...
Well, I didn't steal them.
You fucking
I just
stole
gave them to you on loan.
I would give it a 3, but just because I knew Moxie was going to win. I knew the Acclaimed were going to win. I knew Tony Storm was going to win. God, I miss Punk and the Elite.
Did you not like that finish, though?
No, it was stupid.
Come on.
I saw it at the last pay-per-view they fought at before they started the BCC. It was the same fucking finish.
We got a rear naked choke on Daniels.
It was the same finish. It was
he tries to get out via climbing the turnbuckles, but then Moxley holds on.
It was the same finish.
It did not happen the last time with the flipping turnbuckle thing.
Oh my God, yes it did.
Did it?
Yeah.
Then I'm high. Then I had enough.
I love you.
Because I love you too. I'm still telling you, it was a great ending. It was a great match.
I've seen the ending before, but no. Because MJF, when he came back, or he talked about one of the reasons he got into wrestling was for CM Punk. But do you know the match that made MJF quit college and start wrestling? It was CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, where they shook hands before WrestleMania. You could have told a story.
That was a match that couldn't have been accepted in any other time period or place, though. Come on.
Yeah, but you could talk about it and you could be like, this is why.
Yeah, it's a legendary match. It is. And I can't disagree with that.
I could be hard on AEW because I love AEW, but it was just way too predictable.
But come on, when Danielson at the end tore the belt away, irritated at Mox. Did you see the end of the match?
I watched it live.
And he strapped it on him. When I saw that, I said, this is a pro wrestling match I can get behind.
Maybe I am, but if I'm Tony Khan, let Moxley go on vacation. But what I am hoping is that MJF, because Adam Hangman Page won the fucking battle, the fucking cowboy that wears fucking yellow butterflies on his pants.
That made me sick.
It's gonna fight Moxley in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I'll be at live, and I'll be able to talk about that when we do the podcast.
I'm hoping Mox beats the piss out.
Well, I think they're gonna beat the piss out of each other, and I hope MJF catches in so I can be there live for MJF's first world title.
Do you think he's gonna? Well, how do you think that's gonna come about, though? If that's not the match,
he can cash in the chip.
Oh, he can cash it in any time.
Yeah.
Is that really what happens? Is he cashes it in any time? So, like, he can fucking walk into Dynamite and say, this is my...
They said as long as Tony Khan sanctions it, but it's available at any match. I don't know. It's really weird. They haven't really made it understandable if it's like Money in the Bank or whatever, but they're going to do something screwy to Mox in Cincinnati. They just have to.
Do you know what my favorite statement of this whole...
Oh, God. I'm scared, but what is it?
It says, this belt doesn't define... But I define this belt.
I like that.
Moxley said that.
You know what? Moxley could be the heart and soul. CM Punk will be the dollars and cents.
Yeah, I...
That's where I'm gonna leave that at.
Oh, is that where we're gonna leave it at?
Yep, the dollars and cents, baby.
I like that.
But
I do like that. But right. I did like that. This belt doesn't define me, but I define this belt. And he didn't say championship. He didn't say anything else, but he said this belt.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to go there, but I knew who was going to win, and I didn't like it, but...
Well, I see that. No, I can see that. because we did know who was going to win.
Yep. To me, it's all about building the lineage of the title, and to have Daniel Bryan, or Bryan, what the fuck, Bryan Danielson as a champion as well.
I would like to see Bryan Danielson as champion, but not under these circumstances. I would like to see him beat MJF for it.
Which could happen.
Which it could happen. I'm not saying it. I don't know. See, that's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because we got MJF.
I think once MJF wins the belt, he is not giving that belt up until 2024 when he becomes a free agent. Even though he won't be, but I think they're going to build to that storyline.
Do you think he's going to play up to him building B?
I think MJF's going to win the title and hold it until 2024.
I think that would be a great end of this whole story.
I think that's where we're going. We'll see where they play out, but that's where I think it's going.
I love it. So,
yes,
okay, here's what we're going to do. In this episode, right?
Yeah.
But we're going to say what we thought about Rampage, honestly.
I liked it.
How did you like this Rampage? What was your ups? What was your downs?
The ups was Starks winning the Lights Out match.
Okay.
I like seeing Great Muta.
I agree with you there.
I like seeing Great Muta. I thought the Jungle Boy with Christian Cage thing was good.
We disagreed there.
Yeah, we disagreed there. I didn't see a whole lot. Besides there being 8 matches, I didn't really see a whole lot of bad in this episode.
I didn't like the Jade Gargill match.
I did, just because I like Trina and I like how they came together. I guess just because I'm old and I know who Trina is.
No, I absolutely did. I'm old. I don't know who Trina is. Just didn't see what the relevance was.
Look her up on Spotify.
Okay. So what was she, like, bad bitch? She said she's a bad bitch on her album or something.
Just listen to some of her lyrics and you'll understand.
Okay.
I did not like how they had the House of Black happen, and then Buddy Matthews is taking some time off.
See, that's my point exactly, is Buddy Matthews, in one interview I'm seeing, wants to leave. In the other interview I'm seeing, he doesn't want to leave.
They're taking time off to, like,
who do we believe?
Well, I think they're taking time off, and we'll see Malakai and Buddy back here in, like, the next few months.
I think, that's a good out on it.
But, hey, they got $1 million gate. They got the rating.
Hey, I love it. I love that they did that. They finally reached it. Took how long? 3 years?
Let's see what happens on this week's Dynamite, and we'll go from there.
I think this week's Dynamite will be good.
Yeah, I do too.
I have nothing but high hopes for it. I got nothing but high hopes for you.
you can find me at JBlunt23 on Twitter, Jason Wayne Blunt Sr. on Facebook, Unscripted Violence Admin. Let's talk wrestling.
Let's talk wrestling. It's Stagger Lee 777 and Stagger Lee on Facebook. And what else am I on? Nothing more than that.
And my sick ass is going to bed.
You're going to bed.
Yeah, I feel rough, bro. It's been rough.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, I'm not feeling too well. But I did it for the people.
You do it for all the people, and that's why we love you.
I think I have COVID, but we'll see.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, my girlfriend, she took two tests today. One was positive, one was negative. I took one today. I took two today. One was positive, one was negative. I don't
what
know.
What are you saying?
I'm saying I'm fucking sick, bro.
You got COVID?
I think so, bro.
Let's all pray for my brother here, everybody. Prayer hands emoji.
Hey, but I did this. I did this for the people because I did not want to.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yeah, I feel like I want to vomit right now, but I just I appreciate it, bro. I just don't feel good, but I stayed up. I muscled through.
Yeah, you did. Hate it.
If you know anything about me, I'm a hard worker. I love my job. I love what I do. I left 3 hours early today. And then I still went and coached some kids in football. But
some little is scary because yeah. I couldn't play little league.
But we're 3-3. We won our last.
Did you? Three. Did you win?
Yeah, we won again. But
nice.
I'm really ill right now.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, as soon as we get off this phone, I'm probably gonna puke.
But, okay.
Yeah, I don't feel good, but I love our people. I love you. And
I love you, man.
I hope I'm gonna sleep a lot tomorrow because I don't think I'm going to work. But
don't go to work. Just call in. Just say, look, I'm calling in. I'm sick. I got COVID.
Bro, if you know how sick I was right now, like, I've literally puked like twice since we've done this episode.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't do it in front of the microphone. But
well, thank you.
Yeah. You know.
Thank you for respecting unscripted violence so much.
Yeah. I love what we do, bro, and I love talking to you, so.
I love talking to you.
Yeah. So I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, get some rest.
I appreciate that.
Sleep easy. Yes. Love all you guys.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Good night, bro.
Good night.